Now, 630 Chad presents The Elks This Week. A close-up look at the Elks and the Canadian Football League. Every week, we take you inside the game. From the voice of the Edmonton Elks, 630 Chad. Here's Morley Scott.
Hello, football fans, and happy Easter. Hope you're all enjoying a great long weekend. Welcome to the show for this week. Before we go any further, let's go to the countdown. 6 weeks from tomorrow, May 12th, main camps will open across the Canadian Football League. The excitement and the anticipation of that got a big boost this week from the Edmonton Elks. On Monday, 75 days out from the regular season opener, June 8th, at home to Saskatchewan, the Elks held an event in the dressing room. They had several current players and alumni in place to announce their plans for celebrating 75 years of football in Edmonton. Here's Elks Vice President of Marketing and Fan Engagement, Evan Dom.
We'll kick off our 75th season in style, and there's a lot planned that week. It really is a whole week for us in terms of, you know, celebrating our 75th season and getting things off on the right foot. So we're welcoming back representatives from all 14 Grey Cup championship teams, and they'll really be the stars of the show for that week. We play on this Saturday, which is huge, and that's, you know, very big for us in terms of kicking off the season. But a lot planned that week, including our annual dinner, which will be a kickoff to 75 dinner on Thursday, June 6th. So that's a huge event for us as well, and it really is the start of what we hope to be, you know, a great season for us, and a lot of different things around the stadium that we look forward to rolling out as well.
The annual dinner's been a fixture in September or October over the years. The move to June, a good one, makes it part of opening week festivities.
Edmonton Convention Center, Thursday, June 6th. We'll start things at 5 o'clock with a reception there, and it'll be about 1,100 people in the room, so it'll be a big event. We're going to be in Hall D, which is a great space, and it'll be a mix of corporate partners, obviously lots of alumni. It'll be the largest alumni gathering in club history in terms of a dinner for us, so they, again, will be the stars of that show, and also single tickets available to our fans, which they can access now. All the details on GoElks.com, so it's going to be a huge event for us. It really is sort of a return to its roots for the annual dinner, which has, you know, historically been an event that's been about football and about, you know, tradition and the excellence of the Double E, and it'll be a nice opportunity for us to bridge, you know, past with those legends and alumni that are coming back, which include, you know, Mike O'Reilly, who will be back in town, who led us to 2015 Grey Cup victory. Warren Moon, we're working really hard to get back into town. He's working to clear his schedule. Dave Cutler, a whole host of names. I mean, if you can think of the greats, we're working hard to get him in the building. So it'll be a lot of fun, and it'll be a nice way to sort of kick things off in terms of our honoring of our legends that week.
You mentioned Mike O'Reilly. That's a name that obviously recent history for this team, the quarterback and the MVP of the Grey Cup game in 2015. We haven't heard much from him since he retired about 4 or 5 years ago. It's going to be cool to have him back, a guy who hasn't been back or been anywhere around the CFL for the last 3 or 4 years.
To be honest with you, Morley, when we got some of the RSVPs rolling back in, I gave the biggest fist pump to Mike O'Reilly because, you know, my sort of generation of fans, it was Ricky and it was Michael, and those two guys really stood out in terms of what they meant to the organization and sort of meant to my demographic. So I was very excited that Michael was looking forward to coming back. He's going to bring his family back to Edmonton, so it'll be a great opportunity for us to embrace him and thank him for what he contributed to the Double E. And like you said, it's been relatively quiet from him since he retired and went to BC and played a couple of seasons. He's a firefighter in the Pacific Northwest, so he's got a busy schedule and a demanding job, but we look forward to having him back and being the rep for that 2015 Grey Cup team.
The alumni, really the star of the show, I thought, yesterday in the dressing room, Evan. It was so cool to see so many former players and current players all mingling together. It sounds like the alumni are probably going to be the star of the show all the way through the year with the decade teams announced and the all-time team announced. Is it fair to say we're going to see a lot of alumni, not just on that opening week, but throughout the season?
Yeah, we'll certainly carry it through the whole season. And just to get back to yesterday, Morley, you were in the room, like you mentioned, and you never know when you organize something like that how many people are going to be in the room. And, you know, RSVPs are great, but people in the flesh is a lot better. And there were a lot of alumni there. So it was a huge, you know, it was a huge boost of energy because the season really is going to be about them. It's going to be about them and bridging the gap, you know, to the future. And that's what we're looking to do. And having their involvement so far has been excellent. They've been great partners through it, and we look forward to making them really the centerpiece of our 75th season celebrations. And yesterday was a great start in terms of the turnout. You know, we had staff, we had alumni, we had current players, we had partners, we had media, we had all of these different components of what makes this club great in the room together, excited about being 75 days out from the home opener. So it gave me a lot of energy, and I sure hope it, you know, that energy spills over and our fans can feel the energy that's around the team. It's a very different feel at this point in March than it has been probably the last couple of seasons, in terms of just having that alumni energy and support behind us and behind such an important anniversary.
Man, it sounds like it's going to be just a great week to be around the Edmonton Elks. More talk of the 75th anniversary season and an update on ownership from Elks board chair Tom Richards when we return on the Elks This Week on 630 CHED.
Now, more football talk on the Elks This Week. Here's Morley Scott on the voice of the Edmonton Elks, 630 CHED.
Not only did the team announce plans for the 75th anniversary this week, but they also unveiled a new logo for the year. They have some merch in stock now, more coming later, but check it out at the store at Commonwealth Stadium or online to get a good look at GoElks.com. Tom Richards is the chair of the Elks Board of Directors. I had a chance this week to talk with Tom about what he can share about Elks ownership and the situation they're in now, and of course his excitement for the 75th anniversary celebrations.
Very exciting, and as we get it going, we want to celebrate 75 years. I mean, it's a major milestone, you know, in any corporation, let alone a sports franchise, which can have some ups and downs.
Yeah.
So it's great to see the support of the alumni here today. I don't know, I lost count of how many guys, but all the way back to the, you know, Bay Norries of the day, played in the late 60s, 70s. He was actually one of the founders of the Alumni Association. So there was just all sorts of guys representing all kinds of decades and here to support the club and kick off this celebration.
Yeah, that's one thing that struck me is the players in this room, from current day to guys, as you mentioned, going way back. It just, I guess, says something about the franchise.
Exactly, and the alumni is one of the strongest in the league. We love, you know, we loved helping our community back in the day, and then when we had another organization to go to help us do some more in the community and continue that spirit on, it was certainly, for me personally, it was a natural landing spot to reach out to the alumni and get involved.
Talk about the workload and maybe who's handling it, because this is obviously not an undergoing that is easily done.
You know, Evan Dom has done a whole bunch, but we've got a tremendous number of staff here that are getting together and helping each other out, and everybody's taking their piece of it and getting it organized to go forward. I mean, you heard Mookie, who's head of the Alumni Association right now, and he's got a bunch of guys that are with the alumni helping him out. Just talked to Eric Upton. He said he's got his list. So everybody's taking a little piece and putting their shoulder behind it.
And we're going to see a lot more alumni as we go through this, right?
Yeah, look forward to that. As alumni, we're just trying to create an internal buzz. Hey, you got to make sure this is on your calendar if you want to come out. Make sure this is the one game this year you're going to come out to. So.
Yeah, the moving of the annual dinner, something we didn't have one last year. It's back this year, and it's usually something that happens in September, but in June this year, you're going to have obviously a different feel to it.
Yeah, much different. Where it was always, as you mentioned, in the September, start of October, middle of the season kind of thing to get everybody back together. But we just felt this year, this is a big pivotal year for us. We want to see things improve on all aspects of the organization. So why not start it off with a great party and kick off a winning season?
Yeah, you mentioned it's a big year off the field, on the field. The ownership thing still squirted on about. There's, for the first time in a long time, there's a lot of questions that need to be answered around this franchise.
Yeah, we'd never had to face these kind of questions before, but you know, we're into it. We're not shying away from it. We've got a good organization, a great board of directors. We've got our special committee struck, and we've got a great partner in Park Lane helping us get everybody organized that has put their hand up to take it to that next stage of really figuring out who's going to wind up taking over the ownership of the club.
Yeah, I know you don't want to say too much, but has the committee come come back with any recommendations yet?
We're not quite that far along in the process. Right now, we're just at the point of identifying anybody that wants to put their hand up, make sure your hand's up, okay? You're now added to the list. We've got 20 different people or parties that have signed non-disclosure agreements, so there's a lot of interest. So I'm very optimistic that we're going to be able to find the right organization to take over. So with that many people putting their hand up or organizations, then we're going to be able to make sure we can sit down and make the right decision. It might prove to be a little longer just because we have so many interested parties, but that's fine. That's a luxury for us to have.
Do you think it gets done for this season, or is this a longer term?
That would be my goal. Wouldn't it be nice to tidy it all up and even at the dinner to be able to make that announcement? Yeah. I mean, that would, but it's a blessing that we have that many organizations interested, but it's going to slow it down a little bit because everybody's going to get a fair shot at this. Everyone's going to get a fair look. We are going to request a lot of information as they, I'm sure, will request a bunch of information from us. So it's a process.
Your time on the board, and since you took over as chair of the board, it's been tough. Are you kind of excited about this year and the celebration around 75 and maybe the move forward on the field?
Yeah, I'm still waiting for the fun to start. Honestly, Mark, it's been a long time. We've had a lot of different issues along the way, but when we announced this really in November that we were looking at a different ownership structure, that was kind of at that point where I guess it could have been a personal low for me, like, man, this is just unrelenting. But from then, we started to have people come around, put their hand up. People were expressing interest. It made me feel better more and more, and it's built up to, as I say, 20 different people, parties have signed a non-disclosure. So there's great optimism from my standpoint where things are going to get better, and you can certainly feel in the energy in this room when you get the alumni together and looking to support the club. These are all really great signs for a positive year.
That's Elks Board Chair Tom Richardson. Man, wouldn't it be great to have this whole ownership situation settled by the time the Elks and the Saskatchewan Roughriders kick it off for the home opener on June the 8th at Commonwealth Stadium. Lots going on that week besides the game, and you've heard all about it on the show. So much work going into planning this anniversary and all the celebrations that go along with it. To help with that, the Elks have brought back a former employee, Dave Jamieson, who worked in public relations, marketing, and many other areas for the team for a lot of years, is back. And he's back because of the feelings that he has for this franchise.
Intense pride. Pride in what has been accomplished here. Pride in 14 Grey Cups. Pride in looking at the names on the Wall of Honor and understanding the history and what the team has meant to the city of Edmonton, the community, Northern Alberta. We'll give the South to the Stampeders. And also knowing where it sits in terms of the pantheon of Canadian football, but North American football. Five in a row. Spend a moment thinking about what five in a row, what it took to accomplish that, and where it sits. It stands alone.
And you talk about pride, and for whatever reason, that's kind of what's gotten away from everybody.
I guess on a level it has. I mean, when you don't have success, some of those things can erode a little bit, but it's still there. It's still in the DNA. It's still very much, courses through this organization. You just have to find a way to get back to it. And I guess the simple fix, if that's the word for it, is you win more than you lose, right? Which everyone is trying to do. But it doesn't happen by just wishing it. Yeah. It takes a convergence of a bunch of things.
A win cures so many things.
Oh, it does. It really does. It sets a tone that feeds on, and then it starts to build. I mean, you remember, and I know you were here, I was still here, 34 straight years in the playoffs. I know it's not a big league, but think about that. Like what that took to qualify every year and to maintain a level of excellence.
Yeah. Tell me about your part in this. I know you're heavily involved in this. Tell me about putting this kind of a celebration, year-long celebration together.
Well, the role I've taken on, I'm a contract employee. I'm working with Evan Dom, the VP of Marketing and Fan Engagement, and Rick. There's a small, very small committee. And we're working on the dinner on June 6th at the Convention Center. There's an alumni event on June 7th, which will be rebranding, refreshing the quarterback club to bring, we'll call it Legends, but it'll very much feel like a little bit like a museum in a good way. Not dusty and tired, but it'll be, reinvigorate that. And then some other things that we'll do, we're choosing the, and we're going to do all decades. We're going to select from the 50s, 60s, all the way through to pick those teams, and then announcing a team of the 75th to conclude the season, right? So all of it building towards the end when we say, look, this is the best of the best.
The movement of the annual dinner is kind of a neat thing. Obviously, it's a great way to kick off what should be a great year of celebration.
I call it the 11th home game. You know, I know they're going to have a playoff game here, but you know what I'm saying? It's like adding an 11th game home game to your schedule. An event that size, you know, we're hoping for 1,000 people at the convention center. Yeah, that's a big undertaking. And so I think you need a signature event, I think. And it was Rick Lawlisher's idea. Let's start the season with the dinner because that means we're off and running. You know, this signals to us, to our fans, to corporate partners, to the community at large, okay, Elks are back. Let's go. We got a show.
And it'll be like none other, really, right? Because as has been stated today, there's going to be probably more alumni at this one than at any other.
I think that's fair. It's ambitious, but we needed a goal, and so we're working on getting people to, you know, build their schedules so they can come to Edmonton for, you know, 3 or 4 days and take part in this. So it's really it's trying to wrap your arms around 75 years is hard, you know. And now when you think of those 50 teams, so we've got Jack Parker Jr., we've got family members from the Kwongs and the Brights and Miles families and others who have connections to those 50s teams. I mean, you know, just here today, I mean, we had a football from the 1954 Grey Cup winning team signed in the dressing room after that game. It's here with us today. I mean, when you get to touch history like that, it really drives home the point of we did some good stuff here.
We got a few minutes left on the show here this morning, so we're going to give the last word to a legend that still makes his home in Edmonton and still attends games. I had a chance to talk with Gizmo Williams this week as he gathered with many former teammates.
To get a chance to see some of the players again and some of the legend guys, you know, from who helped build this organization and helping us, you know, to come along and try to show these young guys that this is what it's all about. You know, you're not going to win every game, but let's go out there and perform. Make it exciting for the fans again.
Yeah. As a guy who was around this team and still live in Edmonton and you still go to games, how tough has the last 3 years been for you?
It's been really tough. I'm not going to joke. I'm not putting the team down. I'm not putting the coaches down. It's very hard to come watch the game. Like I was telling one guy, you know, I want to see, we're not going to win every game, but the most important thing, we want to see some competitive out there. We want to compete. You know, getting beat 40-10 or, you know, 50-7, that's not a great game. You know, I want to see, even if we don't win, I just want to see a good game, because you know if you're playing a good game now, you know what's going to come up next. But when you get on that bad road, losing it, it's a contagious, it's like winning. If you find that spot, you got to find a way to get out of that zone. And I think I think the Elks, once they learn how to do that and learn how to win games, I think that's what's going to bring the fans back.
And guys like you, I mean, you go back over the history, you set a pretty high bar for these guys who are playing right now.
Oh, exactly. Well, it was like that when I came in, I come in with one Mooner, they won 5 Grey Cups in a row. I don't want to be one of those guys that never won now, you know. And that's the thing, it's not so much setting a bar high, it's just that let's try to keep it continue to going. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? Let's try to keep the winning tradition going. Let's try to keep the playoff going. Let's bring the fans back so they can have something to look at.
Yeah, the fans, it's been a tough few years for them, especially because, you know, players come and players go, coaches come and coaches go, but exactly. The fans are there every night, and they've had a tough time.
And they had a tough time, you know. I can see now, I didn't see it until I retired. I can see when a fan sitting in the stand and the game is boring or what's going on, then you come back the next week and say, puts a tone on you for a while. It brings you down. You don't really want to come to a game. I mean, it's, you got to understand, it gets minus October. It's minus 25, minus 30. And if they're not playing good, I'd rather sit at home and watch the game on TV than to go to the game. You know, I can remember when we played here, it'd be minus 40. We have a sellout crowd at minus 40. They come into the game. And that's the whole thing what we're trying to bring back. We hoping, you know, the players get out there and perform. You know, we want the fans to come back and enjoy the game. And we and that's what this all about. The 75th, it's not about all the us. It's bringing us back, and we'll bring some of the old fans back to home. Help build this team too.
Yeah. You still come to the games? You're still here?
Yes.
You're walking through the concourse, and I'm guessing, what's that like? I'm guessing all you hear is, hey, Giz, hey, Giz, hey, Giz. What is that like for
you? Oh, it's still fun. It's still nice. You know, it's like I was telling one guy, I'm so glad I'm being honored, and I'm being, you know, the people come around and talk to me, because I don't want to be the guy that be dead. You know, they say, oh, Giz was a great guy, you know. I'm glad I'm getting a chance to enjoy it now, you know, and that's the thing that what I like. And I tell my son it all the time, and I never forget, we used to go to the mall with my son, with kids, he go, Dad, I don't want to walk with you because you got to stop in the mall and sign an autograph. I said, son, that's part of the job, and that's what you got to, you know, that's what I like doing.
We were talking about this on our show last week. Do you sign more autographs or get more selfies taken of you now? Because it seems like the selfie's the new autograph, right?
It's both. You go to sign an autograph, then they'll come back and say, can I get a selfie? So it's they both all good, and they put me on Instagram.
Yeah,
I love it.
That's the show for this week. Thanks for joining us. My thanks to all our guests today, Evan Dom, Tom Richards, Dave Jamieson, and Gizmo Williams. I'm Morley Scott. Let's talk more football in 7 days' time on the Elks This Week.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.